I don't want to attempt to be sensational, but I hear preachers read this passage of Scripture in Mark 5 concerning the woman who was so very sick, and she finally came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He healed her, made her well after 12 years of suffering. And these preachers say, see, He healed this woman. He can heal you. Well, He can, but He may not. He can. There's nothing our Lord can't do. But He may not heal you. And then I hear them say, this woman had faith, and she was healed. And if you have faith, I guarantee you, you'll be healed. But you may have faith. This woman had faith and was healed. You may have faith and die of the same disease. Now, these stories about our Lord's, and now listen to me, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not selling pieces of cloth for a dollar a square inch that I bought for 65 cents a square yard and getting rich on people's emotions. I'm trying to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that the soul of the sinner who hears this gospel may be healed. Now, these instances in the life of our Lord and these stories of His power to heal are not there for us to use them to persuade people that Christ can heal bodies. That's not why they're there at all. Now, they're there to show His power and to show His authority over all things. There was a man who came to Him one time and asked Him to go and heal his daughter who was very sick. And the Lord Jesus said, well, I will come and heal your daughter. And He said, Lord, you don't have to go to my house. This man had caught the message. This man had caught what God was showing in the miracles of Christ. He said, you don't have to go to my house. He said, I have servants, and I say to this servant, go, and he goes, and I say to this servant, come, and he comes. Now, you don't have to go to my house. You just command that disease to go, and it'll go. The Lord Jesus Christ has all authority over the wind and the waves, over the stars and the sea. He has all authority over the diseases and over the famines and over the pestilences. And He has authority over all flesh. That's what He said. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. I have all authority, all power over all flesh that I may give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given me. So what this is showing, it is showing the authority of Christ, the lordship of Jesus Christ over all things. That's the first thing that miracles indicate. Jesus Christ is not going to heal everybody who has faith, but He's going to save everybody who has faith. And that's the second thing that these miracles are showing. They're showing His power. If He doesn't have power over disease, He can't have power over death. If He doesn't have power over the plagues, He cannot have power over sin. And so this is showing His power and His authority over everything and over everybody. He can heal. He can say to this disease, go, and it will go. But He can also say to the pestilence, come, and it will come. And the second thing it is showing His grace to sinners. Now, you can take every incident, every example of healing, and it will reveal to you how God deals in mercy with the soul. Our message is not to the bodies of men, but to the souls of men. Our task is not to heal bodies, but to heal souls. Our task is not to deliver men from death, but to deliver men from the wages of sin, eternal death. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. All men are going to die. So let's look at this story and see several things about this woman that pictures the sinner. Now, first of all, look at verse 25. She was afflicted with a disease of long standing. She had an issue of blood for 12 long years. This woman had a disease that, as far as man was concerned, was incurable. Hers was a hopeless, hopeless situation. She had had this disease for 12 long years. And according to the Jewish law, she could not mix in company with people. She was separated from people. She was, according to the Jewish Levitical law, unclean. And she could not mix with people. Now, do you see the picture there? You and I are born with a disease. We have a disease of long standing. And we didn't catch it when we were 12 years old. We didn't catch it when we reached the age of accountability. We were born with this disease. Turn to Psalms 51, verse 3. Now listen to David. Writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David says, I acknowledge my transgressions, my disease, my infirmities. My sin is ever before me, constantly before me. This woman's disease was always with her, always before, always on her mind, always causing her grief and pain and suffering. She had endured this disease all these years, long-standing disease. And David said, my sin is always before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and that thou mightest be clear when thou judgest. David says, my condition is so clear that God is justified when he condemns me, and God is clear when he judges me, and God Almighty is sanctified when he damns me. He speaks the truth. Now go on. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. I was formed in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Now I don't know when a baby in the womb actually becomes a person. And I'm not sure that anybody else does. I cannot say at what day or what week or what month it actually becomes a living individual. But I can tell you this. When the seed is conceived in the womb, it's a sinful seed. I know that the sin goes back even farther than the life. I know that the very beginning of all flesh is a sinful beginning. That's what the Scripture teaches right here. It does not teach that the mother sinned when she conceived the child. It's a sin not to want children. It's not a sin to beget children. It's a sin not to want them. And His mother conceived him. It's not that there was an act of sin in the conception. The sin came from the sinful father and was imparted to the child. You can't get clean water out of an impure fountain. And therefore, a sinful father can only sire a sinful child. So that's where our sins start. Turn to Psalms 58. In the 58th Psalm and verse 3, listen to this. The wicked are estranged from the womb, separated from God from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Now that's how old your disease is. That's how old your infirmity is. That's how old your evil is. That's what God says in His Word. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. You say you believe babies go to hell? No, I don't believe that. And I don't believe anybody with good sense believes that. But I do believe babies are sinners. And I believe they need to be saved by the blood of Christ. I believe there's a propitiation that needs to be made for them through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe that anybody becomes a sinner when he commits his first sin. He commits his first knowledgeable and responsible sin because he is a sinner. That's what the Word of God teaches. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 1. Beginning with verse 4. Isaiah 1 verse 4. Now listen to the scripture. Our disease is one of long standing. It started when we were born. That's what God's Word says. And in Isaiah chapter 1 it says, "All verse 4. Listen. All sinful nation, a people laden or heavy with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They've gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. Your whole head is sick." That's the mind, that's the thought, that's the imagination. Your whole head's sick. And your whole heart, that's the affections, faint. From the sole of your foot, even, to your head, there's no soundness in you. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's the condition of all men, all natural men. From the sole of the foot to the top of the head. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And in the flesh, no man, no woman can please God. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now let me read you something. This is all scripture. And I'm going to start at the top of your head and go clear to your feet. And I'm going to describe you as you look before God. Now listen to this. God says the natural mind is enmity against God. Your thoughts, he said, are not my thoughts. And God looked down from heaven and every imagination of man's heart was evil continually. Your eyes, having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin. Your mouth, God says, is full of cursing and speaketh lies. Your throat, God says, is an open sepulchre and smells like a dead man's grave. Your lips, under your lips, is the poison of snakes. Your heart, deceitful and desperately wicked. Your hands, with wicked hands, he said, they crucified the Lord of glory. Your affections without natural affections. Their tongues have used deceit, and their feet are swift to shed blood. Now this woman in Mark 5 had a disease of long standing. It had been with her a long time. And that disease of sin, which has permeated and affected and contaminated every faculty of your flesh, is a disease that you got when your father conceived you and when you were begotten and you were conceived in sin and shapen in sin and brought forth in sin, and your flesh has been a sinful flesh since that time, and nothing you've ever done in the flesh apart from Christ has ever pleased God Almighty. Now, I know that's hard to swallow. And the reason you can't swallow it is your sinful throat won't let God's Word by. And your natural reasoning will not bow to the Word of God. God can't be pleased with anything the flesh has to offer. Turn to Isaiah 59. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 59, and I'll begin my reading with verse 1. Now, I said this woman had a disease that rendered her unclean. That's what the Levitical law said. She was unclean. And she was to be separated from the people. And she was to not come in with any company, any crowd. She couldn't come, she couldn't fellowship at all. Now, it says here in Isaiah 59, what's that got to do with me and my sin? Listen, behold, the Lord's hand not shortened, that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God. You're out of fellowship. You're out of communion. You're out of touch. You're separated from God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongues have muttered perverseness. We're in real trouble. And as I said, this woman's disease would eventually bring upon her death. And this disease of sin, which we have, is eventually going to bring us to an eternal, eternal death. Well, in verse 26 of Mark 5, let's look at this. And this woman had suffered many things of many physicians, and she spent all that she had. Now, my friends, back in those days, the science of medicine did not exist. And physicians literally tortured their patients. The surgery was horrible. You just have to read some of the things that so-called self-styled physicians did in those days. And the concoctions and the drugs that people were called upon to take was indescribable. And this woman had spent everything she had and gone to all of these quacks and surgeons and physicians, and they tried to heal her. And instead of healing her, she was now broke, bankrupt, had nothing, and she wasn't any better. She had suffered so much at their hands that she was farther away from healing than she was when she started. Now, there are plenty of soul physicians that have set up shop to deal with the disease of sin. Old Dr. Ceremony, he's going to make you whole. So he sets up his candles, and he sets up his baptismal founts, and he sets up all the uniforms of religion, and he bids us come and be healed by the ceremonies of religion. And then Dr. Ordinance, he sets up the table with the wine and the bread. And he says there's salvation in that wine and bread, because the wine actually becomes the blood of Christ and the bread the body of Christ. And the sprinkling of the water on the head and the burying of the body beneath the water, all of these things will make you well, and they'll heal your soul, and they'll put away the disease. That's what these doctors told this woman. And she came to them, and she gave them everything she had. She spent everything, and she went away still sick. And Dr. Law comes, and he gets out the whip of do's and don'ts, and he sends us through all these resolutions and pledge cards and all this penance and all this grief and all this suffering and all this mourning and all this self-denial, and we're no better. And then Dr. Good Works comes along and says, if you'll serve the Lord, and if you'll go to church on Sunday, and if you'll give your tithe, and if you'll read your daily Bible reading, and if you'll get out and serve the Lord, if you'll knock on doors, if you'll witness, if you'll do all these things, you'll be made whole. And then Dr. Decision comes along and preaches some doctrine. And he says, if you believe my doctrine and join my church, you'll be made whole. That's what these men told this woman. And she tried everything they told her to do. And she spent every dime that her husband had given her. Evidently, he was dead, and he had left her a little savings, and she spent it all, and she tried everything, and she was no better. She was just worse off. And these so-called soul physicians behind the pulpits today cannot help the sinners because, number one, they don't understand the disease. The average preacher doesn't know where sin came from, he doesn't know what sin is, and he doesn't know the wrath and anger of God against sin. And these so-called soul physicians are prescribing outward medicine for inward woe. Turn to Matthew 23. Here Christ gives us an example of that. In Matthew 23, verse 25, the Lord Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you preachers." That's who these men were. They were preachers. "Woe unto you, preachers, hypocrites. You make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess." This woman's trouble was inside. And these fellas gave her all kind of baths to go through and hot springs to go through and all kind of medicine to rub on her body and all these different things. And that's what these preachers are saying. They're saying, do this and do that and do the other. Christ said, "Listen, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first, purge first that which is within, that the outside of them may be clean." Our trouble's not hand trouble or skin trouble, it's heart trouble. And these men don't understand the disease, and they're prescribing outward medicine for inward disease. And they're prescribing remedies which the sick sinner cannot possibly perform. Turn to Matthew 19. Listen to the Lord Jesus here. In Matthew 19, verse 26, it says, "When his disciples heard it, they were amazed, and they said, 'Who then can be saved?' And the Lord Jesus said, 'With men, it is impossible.'" The disease is incurable. The problem cannot be dealt with. There is no church under heaven that can put away sin. There's no ordinance given to man that can put away guilt. There's no preacher or apostle or evangelist or missionary or priest or bishop or cardinal or pope who can forgive any man's sin. There is no ordinance, there is nothing in this world that can deal with sin if it has anything to do with men. With men, it is impossible. Who can be saved? With men, it's impossible. Who can be saved? With men, it's impossible. All right, let's notice the third thing. This woman had been sick a long time, and she had tried everything people told her to do, and she wasn't any better. She was worse. And I'm saying this. I'm saying that the average church member is worse off than he was when he started the church when he was 5, 6 years old. He suffered so much at the hands of self-styled apostles and so-called preachers of God and these self-styled physicians who are quacks and soul butchers that people are worse off right now because they're worshiping a God they do not know. And they're claiming a salvation they do not have. And they're looking forward to enjoying a heaven they'll never see. And that's tragic. And that's what Christ is saying. That's the reason this is in here. These physicians, they've got no conscience. They've got no heart. This woman came to them, she had some money, and so they'll give her a cure. It won't cure her, but they'll give her something to do. And she'll go out and try it, and she'll do it. And that's the way these religious hucksters are today. You're just a body to them. You're just a number to them. You're just another church member to them. You're just another baptism to them. You're just another dollar to them. And they don't care if you go to hell or not. That's about the size of it. And you're worse off. A man out there who's never heard of the gospel, who's never heard of God, who's never heard of Christ, is better off than a man who's wrapped in a false religion and tied up in a false profession and hiding in a false refuge, waiting for the wrath of God to rout him out at the judgment and send him to hell, crying, "Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did many wonderful works in your name. I did everything they told me to do." Everything. All right, verse 27. When she heard of Jesus. Brethren, that's the reason the Apostle Paul said, "I've determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." When she heard of Jesus. I don't know where she heard of Him. Perhaps she heard somebody talking who had been healed by him. Perhaps she heard somebody talking who believed that he was the Messiah and said, "Did you know the Messiah has come? The Christ has come, the one of whom Moses wrote." Perhaps she heard of the miracles which he had performed. Perhaps she heard somebody give a testimony who had been healed by him. I don't know, but she heard of Christ. She didn't hear of the great evangelist who was coming to town. She heard of Christ. She didn't hear about the fastest growing church in the world. She heard of Christ. She didn't hear about a program. She heard of Christ. She didn't hear about a doctrine. She heard of Christ. When she heard of Christ, she came in the press behind him and touched his garments, for she said, "If I may but touch his clothes." If I may but touch his clothes. The emphasis is not on her. The emphasis is not on her. It's not on her touch. It's on him. There's power in him. There's salvation in him. There's fullness in him. There's virtue in him. There's strength in him. If I can touch him, if I can make a contact with him, I shall be made whole. It matters not what my uncleanness may be. It matters not what my character may be. It matters not what my state of mind. If I can but touch Him, Him. It's not reach out and touch the radio and establish contact with a minister. Brothers, reach out and touch the Lord. Touch the Lord. In Him there's strength. Salvation is in Christ. The power is in Christ. The life is in Christ. The strength is in Christ. The beauty is in Christ. The grace is in Christ. That's what she's saying. If I can but touch His clothes, anything about Him, I shall be made whole. We've got to get men to Christ. Not to the front of the church. Not to the mourner's bench. Not to the baptismal waters, not to our revival meetings. We're going to have to preach men to Christ. We're going to have to preach so that the law will strip them, and the law will slay them, and the law will humble them, and the law will knock all the foundations of flesh out from under them, and stand them out there naked and miserable and hopeless with no help and no hope except in God's mercy, and have them cry out, "Lord, save me or I perish, if I can but touch Him." We're going to have to preach so that people will become upset with and dissatisfied with modern religion and phony doctors and phony preachers. We're going to have to preach so that men and women will see the difference in what we're preaching and what they're preaching. Rather, who we're preaching and what they're preaching. I don't preach a what, I preach a who. I preach Him. I preach Christ. I'm not preaching any magic in our doctrine or any magic in our name or any magic in our denomination or any magic in anything else. The power's in Christ. And if you miss Christ, you'll go to hell. I don't care what else you have or what else you know or what else you do. If you miss a personal, vital contact with
and vital union with Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell. I don't care if you're a preacher or an elder or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, what you are, you miss Christ and you miss life. The power is in Him. She said, if I can but touch Him, His clothes, if I can but get from Him strength and power, if I can maintain some communion with Him, And I'm telling you, my dear friends, when that woman came in the press behind Him, and she reached out with trembling hand, and I'm sure that it was just skin and bones. She'd been sick so long, and these butchers, these body butchers, just like these soul butchers, had put her through horrible experiences. And she reached out with a trembling hand, and she somehow reached out and got in contact with the robe of Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says, listen, and straightway, right now, immediately, her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Her faith didn't save her. Her Lord saved her. But her hand reached out, and the deed was done. She wasn't saved by faith. She saved by the Lord, but she wasn't saved without it. She was not healed. She was not healed by her faithfulness. She was healed by His power. But she wasn't healed without her faithfulness. Her hand reached out and touched Him. She wasn't accidentally shoved against Him. Listen to it. And the Lord Jesus said, listen in verse 30. He said, who touched me? And His disciples said, well, Lord, everybody around here has brushed against you and leaned against you and fell against you. The crowd throngs about you. He said, I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me. That's what it says in another scripture. I perceive that power is gone out of me. Her touch. Listen to this now. Her touch, not every contact with the Lord brought healing. Only that contact of faith. And her touch was her own distinct, intentional, voluntary act that was performed under the persuasion that if she got to Him, she'd be healed. Her faith brought her to Christ, and Christ made her whole. Is that clear? Do you see what I'm saying? Her faith brought her to Christ, and Christ made her whole. If I can but just touch Him, if I can establish some contact between the Lord Jesus Christ and this old empty, helpless, sinful, hopeless, depraved, hell-deserving sinner, if I can establish some contact, I'll be made whole. And brethren, that's exactly what our Lord's teaching here. If you can by faith, this woman was convinced that if she touched Christ, if she came in contact with Christ, she'd be made whole. Are you convinced of that? Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ the Lord. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Christ, He's the Savior. He's the Savior. Our Father in heaven, show us our need. Make us unhappy with our sins. Let us say with David, all my sins are always before me. I was shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin, brought forth speaking lies. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I'm sick and tired of the remedies of the world, the remedies of religion. I'm tired of all of these things that the world has set forth to make our flesh acceptable to God. With me, and it's impossible. Oh, Lord, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, that I may reach out with the arm of faith, that I might look with the eye of faith, that I might believe with the heart of faith, and receive from Him His strength and His merit and His righteousness and His power, and establish a living, personal, vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my righteousness, my justification, my sanctification, and my redemption. And I am complete in Him. We ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen.